Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with your host, Scott Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874.
We've reached a new epoch in Let's Talk About It. We're all now watching our iPhones and doing stuff on our iPhones while we're doing the show. So,
multitasking.
Get ready for blazingly good radio. Yeah, get ready for blazingly good radio.
I know. Before we go to the fun stuff, I just want to mention something that happened yesterday that I grew up with, and maybe a lot of radio listeners, Spanish-speaking radio listeners, grew up with, listening to Bermudez. And yesterday, he passed away. Augusto Hernandez Bermudez, he passed away yesterday as he was doing his radio show in Mexicali. And, you know, that's something that it was part of my growing up. And my mom and my dad were listening to him yesterday.
Wow.
And he passed away yesterday morning at 9 o'clock. And last night was
on the commercial break?
Live. And they put in music. And the last night was the viewing. And I think today might be the funeral. I'm not sure. But you can always, you know, if you need information, you can always go on Google it on the internet, all the information. And La Voz or La Crónica, the newspaper.
It's always a little weird when like celebrities, because they don't realize how many relationships they have with how many people.
So it's something that I grew up with, and I'm not going to have it anymore. It's just weird. But his show was called Sonorama Deportivo, and you know it was a daily thing. You know, my mom making breakfast and listening to the radio, and now that I'm grown up and. My mom's helping me getting my daughter ready, and she's listening still to the radio. But that's no longer. So.
Wow.
Sympathies to his family, and he's
and
a well-known.
And that quickly.
That quickly, yeah. But I know.
Are they already busting out, like, the cliches, like, he went out doing something he truly loved?
Or? Actually, you know what? He did. I mean, that's what he did. He loved it. He was there every day, and he. That's something that I would like to do, you know.
So today when we strap it on the radio, we're strapping it on for Bermudez.
And yes, Bermudez.
You know, even being that I'm in radio,
right. You are literally in radio.
Yeah, I've heard the story before, like people being on the air and just, you know, doing their thing.
Literally dead air. Yeah.
No pun intended. But yeah, it happens, you know. It's an unfortunate thing that happened to him. I mean, he is like literally a Mexicali icon.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, condolences to his family.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like you said, we grew up with him. I grew up with him. Like, I remember, like, listening to him with my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother.
So this is like Captain Kangaroo of the radio, or what?
Something like that.
I mean, yeah. Mr. Rogers, kind of like, it's there, it's always there, you turn it on. It was always, he was always
signature
there.
Signature voice of Mexicali.
Yes.
So, yeah.
He knew everybody. Everybody knew him.
Wow.
So, something now, something a little bit more upbeat. Of course, everybody knows what's going to start this Friday. The fair, Midwinter Fair, starts this Friday. So, you know, if you're looking for something to do with your whole family, take them to the fair. So
Are you?
I will be there.
Are you dialed in now? I mean, who's going to perform at the fair? Anybody?
I have no idea. Okay. I'm going for my daughter's looking forward to getting a fish. Another fish. The other ones died.
You know how many years it took me to get them to get the fish at the end of the fair instead of, like, in the first 10 minutes and you carry around the fish for the whole
thing? No, I learned that. We're going to do that at the end. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the corn dogs and the food, the whole, you know, fair.
Immersing in the fair experience.
And the rides, the little rides. Still sticking to the little rides, and that's fine. And I know.
It's all fair and midwinter fair.
Yes. So the fair starts this Friday, so take your family this weekend and for the next, 10 days?
Hey, culture hits Imperial Valley. There you go. Something to do.
I know. So.
And then Blue Angels are right around the corner somewhere.
And the same, I think the same week, so.
Wow. What a great, and you know, it's also kind of starting to get warmer, and yeah, it's good to be here. So, welcome aboard. Okay, let's talk about it. We do have a guest. We have a radio show.
A good show.
And catch the podcast on KXORadio.com. Always. Last week's show was great, and if it hits.
Oh, no, we're going to top this one off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no question. No question. Because
we're always topping it off.
Because Dahlia's.
Everything.
Dahlia Pesqueira. Ooh, I still messed it up. Oh,
Dahlia Pesqueira.
1,000 times practice and still messed it up.
Pretty close.
Morning, Dahlia.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Yeah, and Dahlia is a mental health counselor and a marriage and family therapist. Intern.
You do Pesqueria, I'll do marriage, family, therapist, intern.
Yes. Yeah.
And miss our stumble points.
Works for the Behavior Health. So, and today we're going to be talking about family therapy.
Mm-hmm. Family therapy.
When you talk about family therapy, our listeners, most of our listeners have families and kids, and how do you, there's always...
And I've got, like, people that I can blame for the family not working, so why should the whole family have to get therapy when just one person's messing up? You know what I'm saying?
Because it affects the whole family.
Right, but we'll hear that a lot. Why do I have to go? You know, why am I the crazy one?
Well, yeah.
Why do I need it?
This isn't a family therapy. This mm-hmm. is that person over there.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So what do you do with that?
Well, that's very, actually...
Let's jump in.
That's the open doors for you. So we actually expect that, and that's actually very helpful because now we start really talking about what really the problem is and where it comes from and how it really affects everybody. You know, they might be pointing fingers, but at the same time, when they start talking about how it influences their lives, it's just so... People start becoming so amazed about how much they are affected and how much hurtful it is. Even if they contributed and they thought, you know, it wasn't affecting them as much. So just opening that door is good enough to start discussing about thoughts and feelings of what you really believe is happening.
What kind of problems or what kind of issues comes to that point that, you know what, family therapy is we're going to be providing, where it comes to that point, well, let's provide, or this family would benefit from family therapy. What kind of problems?
Well, we see a variety of things. What I see most common is, for example, anger outbursts. If the adolescent is easily triggered by family, verbal, physical altercations at home with, you know, siblings, parents, refusing to follow your house rules and regulations.
So well, pretty, that's pretty nasty family fighting.
Well, no, but I mean, refusing to follow house rules, and mm-hmm. I mean, that's a lot of the teenagers.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's every husband right. that was ever fortunate enough to get married.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's our job.
Yes, to follow rules, yes.
Socks on the living room floor is the least
But you know
of our
what?
Problems.
That's a lot of the teenagers, it you is. Know, they don't want to follow rules mm-hmm. because... They become to that point in their lives that they can do a lot of the decisions mm-hmm. by themselves. They think of themselves as already
independent
mm-hmm. and but unfortunately they're just in the middle right now. Exactly. You know, they're too old to be told to do it everything, but they're still too young.
You can
young.
Still try though.
Yeah,
right.
And still
right.
too and still young to be completely independent.
Right.
And so here comes the parent.
And they can still try.
No, yeah, and here comes mm-hmm. the parent, you know, here comes a minor and say, you know what, I want to go to a party and, well, you need to be home by 10 o'clock. And mm-hmm. they come home at 1 or 2.
Right.
And that might cause problems. Get home. And what do parents typically do when they come home that late?
Right.
They start screaming, where have you been? You know, I was worried. You know, just, you know, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you doing with your friends? They're
and I think that's the challenge of the parents. You know, do I scream? Do I yell? Or do I not say anything, act like I didn't know? You know, they go through a lot of challenges about what do I do now? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I act? Should I become more strict or should I be more flexible? Am I doing the right thing? How was I parent? So even the parents go through a lot of struggles trying to figure out, am I doing the right thing? Am I guiding
are,
the
are
right
we
way?
You're saying we're making it up as we go along or what? And it sounded a little bit that way.
What do you mean?
As parents, we're just kind of making it up as we go
sometimes,
along. We're just kind of like, okay,
sometimes.
Something new happens and
exactly
all of a sudden
so.
I have to
what,
figure out
what do I do?
What do I do now?
What's yeah. the better approach? Especially if a kid is not following rules, okay, now I have to figure out what's the best approach right now. If, you know, they haven't had...
Or sometimes like, parents use... themselves as an or mm-hmm. their parents as an example. You know, uh-huh. this is what my parents did.
Right.
But guess what? It's not working for your child.
Right.
I saw this on Jersey Shore's. Maybe it'll work with you.
Right.
That example.
Right.
But
hopefully
that's. I mean.
Not, but
I mean, every family has problems.
Yes. Yes.
and issues, and mm-hmm. you know, kids are trying to be independent, and right. then there's the type of parenting that's too restrictive, and then mm-hmm. there's the type of parenting that's too
flexible.
You know, just mm-hmm. you know, you do whatever you want.
Is there a type of parenting that's like too good? Like it works like too. I mean, we're all these like two different places, like too rigid, too strict. Is there like perfect parenting, or is there like no such thing?
I don't think there's such thing. I think there has to be a balance. But I think what's going to matter is the way that you do connect to the adolescent, whether it's something positive or something negative. I think that's what's going to affect the child.
You know,
how
it'd be a shame.
Connect to him.
It'd be
her.
A shame if you did like a perfect parenting thing, like you really hit the mark and the kid didn't work.
Right.
It was like, oh, failure to thrive.
Yeah,
my bad.
And I think that's what's so good about this model for family therapy, that it's not a perfect model for a certain individual. It adjusts to the parenting style. It adjusts
into the family.
Right. It adjusts to the family, how they function as a family. So we just do a little bit of changes for the improvement, mm-hmm. but we're not going to change the way they parent. We're not going to change the way that they connect as mm-hmm. family.
So then that's one of the things that families might be, or parents might be, hesitant about getting therapy.
Yes.
So what,
yeah,
they're going to come into my home or come into my family and change me.
Right. They're going to tell me that I'm doing wrong, which I already know I'm doing wrong.
Like, how old are your kids? How would you know
exactly
how 14-year-olds are supposed to be?
So what do you tell them? Or kind of, how do you... Well, let's start with the model of the family therapy.
Well, the first phase is very, very important, I think, because if we don't... the first phase is engagement and motivation, which is self-explanatory. We're there to engage the family, and it doesn't start in session one. It starts over the phone. It starts being familiar with the case, talking to case managers, reviewing cases, the case, the charts, the files, the referral source, trying to figure out as much as information as we can so we can be a little familiar with it before we speak to family. And the way that I try to do is try to contact as many family members as possible that are going to be involved in the family therapy because of the engagement part.
And who can be involved in the family? It's the adolescent and...
And anybody that's influential.
Is that like a permission thing? I mean, you first have to figure out the family's rules on who gets to talk to you, right?
Right. True.
I mean, because you can't be like calling the older brother if I'm the parent and I say,
no.
Well, you know what? It has to go through me.
Right.
Sorry. Appreciate your help. But
yes, what I try to do, we have a consent signed before therapy. So I look at the consent, who signed it. Was it mom and child or father and child?
And that's your starting point, huh?
That's my starting point. And then I'll try to figure out from there who... They believe.
So you'd be like, Mom, okay, I'm glad you're on board here. Would it be okay with you if I talk to other people? It sounds like his aunt's really important in his life.
Or just invite other, can you invite other family members?
Yes. And I'll ask them directly, who do you think is influential? Either positive
so if it's
or
grandma,
negative influence.
So if it's grandma?
Let's have grandma in.
Or cousin that's really close to?
Girlfriend.
A girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
Justin Bieber?
He's always influential in every family.
Exactly.
So.
That's where I was going.
I'm just trying to get him down here to Imperial Valley.
Yes.
And he, like, set the tone for the Oscars, so he
must
be.
So what is, after you do that, do you, well, first of all, family therapy, is it done in our clinic setting, or what?
We have options, and that's the other discussion in that phone call and that contact is trying to figure out what's best for the family.
Oh, okay.
Is it
That's
better?
Important.
Yeah, and it's really up to them. We're very flexible. Mm-hmm. I've done it at homes, at school sites,
Wait,
in the office.
Wait, this is therapy. How do you get enough couches for everybody in the family?
Right.
And where's your beard?
No.
Right.
I don't think
not
it's
that therapy.
It's not that therapy that you lay down and you go, tell me how you feel.
If you were going to be a tree, what kind of tree would you be and why? You know, or something.
Right, right.
So it's not like that.
No, not like that.
So we're quelling the misconceptions.
Yes.
Of therapy.
Yes, definitely.
So you get the whole family, and you meet them, and you catch them mm-hmm. wherever they are feel best.
Yes.
So if it's at their home, you do it at home.
Uh huh.
If it's at the clinic, mm-hmm. at the clinic or any other setting.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've done it at schools as well because of whatever reasons the child can't get out of school. The adolescent is missing credits, and he can only get out at one class, for example, so we only have about an hour.
So the family goes over there to
we'll
the school?
We'll do it in school setting.
Are you primarily teens? Permission. Is that where you aim?
Yes. The model is adapted for children from 12 to 18 years old. So and that's the identified client.
Okay, it takes like 12 years to get to the point where you're that messed up.
No, no, not at all. No, it's more because of it's evidence-based, and the surveys are more adapted to children from 12 to 18.
Does it have something to do with the emerging power of the 12-year-old to 12 to 18? I mean, is that part of this therapy where you're trying to figure out where
this... I think that's when we were talking about it. That's when you start...
It
kids
is challenging
are,
at that.
That's when kids
that
start to be trying to be independent and say, you know what, I can make my own decisions.
Right, and they're looking for identity at that time as well. They're trying to figure out who I am and what am I supposed to act and dress. Mm-hmm. So that's
and parents still
point.
Telling them, no, you're going to do this.
Right. Right. So that's the perfect age, actually.
So that's the whole first phase, that engagement motivation, is just to kind of making them feel comfortable, or engaging them, you know, motivating
them
to continue with the therapy.
To continue with the therapy and to prepare for change, mm-hmm. whatever it is that the family needs. Like, for example, if it's lack of communication, which is might be why they have so many anger outbursts and verbal altercations, then we have to first engage the family enough to gain a little bit of their trust, to get to know them, how to find out how they function as a union, then try to figure out then what adjustments they're willing to make, and to motivate them, increase their hope, make them feel that there is a different way to handle things, and they're motivated to do it.
What would Black? I mean, everybody wants to be like Mike, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody. We walk around in our heads thinking everybody wants to be happy and successful, and
mm-hmm.
that's like kind of a universal goal. And so
right.
why aren't you doing the things that would get you to that place? What blocks engagement motivation? I mean, it sounds if it's so important that people have to dedicate a phase to it, then it must be something that just doesn't naturally happen.
Could it be because a lot of people don't have that hope? They're hopeless. You know, they're just kind of
mm-hmm.
so many problems, so many issues going on with their kids, and
yes.
it's just out of control.
And I think it's a big part, the loss of hope because of their poor experiences that they've had. But I think a lot of it is expectations, like you were saying, Scott. You know, we expect it to be happy, successful, and there's a certain things that we're supposed to achieve at a certain age. And if you're not at that point, then we lose hope. We start feeling like we are not going to be the normal.
So discouragement's
a
big factor here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's about normalizing a lot of the stuff that they're experiencing. Try to see the positives that they do have, because every family has positives. But I think there's so much negative that it's difficult to see. Well,
the world's kind of set up an expectation of us that we are going to be as cool as the people on Jersey Shores.
Yep.
And clearly that doesn't happen. I mean, a lot of families lack the basic resources necessary to get to that place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I could see that discouragement being very normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I could also see that it must be a difficult sell for you as a therapist to say, you know, you're not really a failure. It's actually normal to be not thriving based on the tools that you have, based
mm-hmm.
on the place you are in the world.
Yes.
How do you sell that?
Well, I think it's a lot of
lower your standards.
Yeah. No, and I think it's a lot of normalizing, validating what they've experienced, and trying to make them realize you have achievements. You do have them. It's just about recognizing them. And it comes back to the first phase where our job is to stop negativity and blame, to start to find noble intentions behind each action, behind each behavior, behind every negative experience.
Tell me about noble intentions.
Yeah, what would be a noble...
I'm sure I've had one once.
No, yeah, what would be the noble intention of a parent when that example that I gave you earlier, you know, the kid goes out to a party,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is, hey, all teenagers do that, a lot of them, and parent tell them to come at 10, and they come home at 1 o'clock in the morning. What is the noble intention of when parent comes in yelling and screaming at the kid, and the kid starts screaming and yelling back, and then cops are called. It comes to that, you know. Is there a noble intention in there?
Yes, definitely. What I try to do with the noble intention, we always want to also point out the seriousness
mm-hmm.
of it, because we don't want to also say, okay, it's the right thing to do, because it will discourage the adolescent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to say, yes, it was pretty bad that she screamed and yelled at you. Must have been very hurtful for you. But at the same time, it seems like mom is working really hard to try to guide and protect you. And at the same time, she was very fearful of possibly, you know, not knowing
mm-hmm.
exactly what was happening to you. So it was her reaction. It might not have been the best reaction, but this is what she's trying to express to you. I am fearful, I love you, and I was, you know, I want to know how to protect you from further harm.
Wow.
And
I'm like, whoa.
Me, the teenager, I was trying to establish myself as an independent, socially
right.
normed
mm-hmm.
adolescent. And
right.
10 o'clock is not the time
right.
that those people leave parties. I'm
right.
sorry to inform you.
So that's now is finding a noble intention behind his actions for failing to go home.
Yeah.
So at the same time, you know, he's trying to show you that he's independent and responsible and that he can take care of yourself.
It's like teaching everybody to
time,
be politicians.
Right. So you're going back and forth. You know, there's always a noble intention behind each one. And you have to make sure that you keep a balanced relationship and that you don't pick sides.
It's like the dad spanking the kid going, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you, you know.
Right,
or whatever.
Right.
That's kind of, okay. Okay.
Man, that was a good example.
let's pick this one up after the break. This is kind of interesting stuff. We're here with Dalia Pesqueira.
Pesqueira.
Okay, I'll
there
do that
go.
One next time. Let's talk about it. We'll
Thanks,
be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, for Mexicali and Imperial Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. Don't forget the 760 in the front. And also, you can access this show and other shows through our podcast at kxoradio.com. And we're here with...
That was smooth. That was great intro.
Really?
Welcome back.
Thank
you. That was good.
And we're back with Dalia Pesqueira. She is a mental health counselor and a marriage and family therapist intern.
Look, I had noble intentions when I was trying to say your name right, and all I've done is make your mother-in-law really angry.
And husband.
Right. And he's
Welcome
working.
Back. Welcome back. We're talking about functional family therapy, and that's what you do sometimes as
mm-hmm.
a therapist, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do you want to jump? You know,
well, she gave a really good example, a good noble intent, you know, what parents, and usually a lot of parents do that
yes.
when their child does something wrong, they, you know, which is pretty bad, you know, especially the curfews, you know, coming in, instead of coming in 10, coming in at 1 o'clock in the morning, to,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is the reaction a lot of parents do?
Yeah.
It's because they're so scared of what worried about their, what happened to them. Are they, you know, were they in an accident or
mm-hmm.
What are they doing, you know?
Right.
And
I think our mistake as parents, sometimes we don't express that concern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was very scared. I was very concerned.
And the son or daughter, the only thing that they see is
yes.
this anger and yelling and
screaming. Right. They don't love me. They don't care.
Yeah.
Well, because in lots of functional families, in lots of mm-hmm. ways that families choose to operate, parental vulnerability is not high
yeah.
on the list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't be like showing your, oh my goodness, I was really concerned about you side.
Right, exactly.
You'd be showing your, I am in charge, you violated the rules,
and you need to do.
The world shall end.
Right.
And then they tell him, you'll never go out to a party
well, yeah,
again.
Yeah, yeah,
ever again.
Well, because that's who we are.
Until next weekend.
Because that's what that family has defined the parental role
yes.
as.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you have to kind of learn, in functional family therapy, if I'm hearing you right, you'd have to kind of learn to operate within that framework.
Yes, exactly. So that's where the phase one comes in, and we really have to get to know them. How do they function? How they connect? How they, if they're autonomous, if they're very connected, who's in charge, who usually makes decisions, the hierarchy, because we're not there to change that either. It's about finding out.
So you're not doing a lot of sit there, do this, do that. You want to see the family operate as if you weren't even in the room.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
And that's important to know who's in charge. You know, you would think,
yes.
oh, it's the parents.
No.
And sometimes
not
the parents have to work
mm-hmm.
Long hours.
It's
and
the Labrador Retriever puppy.
And then,
sometimes,
you know, and sometimes, you know, the kids are the ones that are taking care of the younger kids.
Yes.
You know, when they get out of school, you know, making the lunch, making some dinner,
mm-hmm.
maybe helping them with homework. And then comes the mom, especially if they're single parents. It's
exactly.
very hard.
Exactly.
What's the ticket? Whose distress is most immediately met by everybody else? How do you tell who's in charge?
Well, I start, for example, asking for sequences is what we call. So ask for little patterns. What happens when there's anger outbursts? What triggers it? How does it happen? And then I try to figure out who made the decision, who stopped the conflict, for example. who made it worse. So I'm trying to see who influences who. So who has the major influence on that person? And that's typically the person that makes the decisions. So we have to look at influences, you know, who triggers somebody
that's
and
important
who follows
to know.
Through.
That way right. you know.
Yes, for the next phase, which mm-hmm. is going to be the behavior change implementing
and what do you, okay, that's kind of worry, not worrisome, but when you say change, behavior change,
mm-hmm.
and the family's like, no,
yes.
no, you're not going to
exactly.
change me.
Right.
You know, this
exactly.
is the way my, so what is behavior change?
Behavior change is about learning how the family functions, trying to find out where is the little stressors that provokes triggers for the anger outburst or whatever it is that they're going through, and try to find out what changes are they willing to make in order to better function as a unit, to better connect.
So do you like kind of put like a magnifying glass on certain points in the process and say, let's look at this point?
Yes, unfortunately.
And see if it's working?
Yes, because unfortunately we're not going to be able to fix everything if that's
they're
you know,
not
going to
become through the therapy. They're not going to become the ideal family.
No,
the,
it's not
going to
be the perfect.
The, what is it? The cleaver? What is it?
Well, no, it's like driving down the road. You're driving down the road. You may be doing a million goofy things, but there's only really one or two goofy things that get you in the ditch.
Right,
so,
and that's what I'm looking for. What is it that gets them to that point where it's a little horrible, terrible, unable to manage?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're looking for. And you know, family therapy is like an initial way to start, and from there on we do.
What if people are really invested in that point where it goes off the ditch? You know, uh-huh. like I really want to be able to yell at my kid,
mm-hmm.
even though that's causing all sorts of chaos down the road.
Right, and it's about trying to figure out what is that. What are you trying to communicate with that yelling to
What's
the adolescent?
Noble intent?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's the
oh,
noble intent?
Sweet.
What
going
is it
back
that you
to
really
the
want
example.
To say? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because the yelling is just the fear, or the being scared, and not really knowing how to act. So it's about what is it really about? What were you really trying to communicate to him or her? And then it really comes down with, well, I was worried. You know, I thought something had happened to you, or afraid you were drinking or using, or you know. So it's really talking about what's underlying.
Oh, so wait. So and you don't want me to bottle up my fear. You want me to figure out an alternative way to
right.
express
yes.
it.
Right.
Express it, yeah.
Right.
That's not so driving in the ditches.
Exactly.
Right.
Not the
okay.
yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's what happens is that, you know, parent or maybe the child or the teenager starts yelling, then the parent yells, and then the kid yells louder, and then the
mm-hmm.
parent yells even louder, and then it comes into, could lead to physical.
Right.
You know, push some pushing.
Or
and
I just leave, you know.
It's escalating.
Right.
It escalates, you know, the fighting. And
right.
I go back to the party.
Right, right. Or the other idea is parent is trying to connect and get son or daughter closer, but instead, you know, I'm
pushing
her away.
Them, yeah.
So it's about you want to connect with your adolescent, so what's a better way to do it?
So when I'm yelling at you, it means don't you realize how much I love you?
Right.
And they're not hearing that.
Right.
At
not.
All.
Not.
They're hearing, I hate you, you're ruining
mm-hmm.
my life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Leave me alone, you know. Leave me alone. It's
mm-hmm.
And that's something that the parent maybe doesn't want. It's just that they want to connect more and
right.
you're pushing them away.
Right.
Well, yeah, but, yeah, I mean, if you step back from it and talk about the emotions, is the parent who's yelling at the kid is saying, I'm really scared.
Right.
Right. Or,
right.
or and maybe I'm really scared that I'm realizing that I can't control you like a chess piece and you're an independent functioning being in this world, which,
exactly.
you know, may be the ultimate fear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the kid may be saying when they yell back that, you know what, I can't handle being responsible for your emotions, person. You're a grown up. You need to deal with this.
As well. Yeah. It happens. It happens. And we do have a lot of parents that do have a lot of trauma, do have mental health
Does
symptoms.
Does it get played out at that level? Do you guys ever get to that point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So other things come up during therapy.
Definitely. For the most part, what was originally referred for is really not the main issue. There's always something underlying, and it's beautiful to see it come out in therapy because they really get to process.
So the parent who spent their whole life failing at controlling stuff and feels really bad about themselves
mm-hmm.
now has the thing that they love most in their life
yes.
following that same pattern of being unable to control, and this is the thing they can't stand to lose.
Right.
And they really and they have really, really lack self-confidence because they've lost everything else. They didn't
yes.
get the great job.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get the great wife. They didn't get the great love. You know, they didn't get the pain-free life, whatever they were looking for.
Right.
And now their kid is following that same trajectory.
Right.
Wow.
So in that phase, in the behavior change, mm-hmm. do you do any type of skill interventions? Mm-hmm. And that's the whole process, correct?
Yes. Yes, and that's going to really depend on the family, on what is it that they're struggling with.
And that's what little things can they change?
Uh-huh, uh-huh, such as communication skills, relaxation skills, problem solving. It depends where they have more need.
What if in that, you know, because now you're past that engaged motivation, and they uh-huh. want, okay, they're all into they bought into the therapy,
uh-huh.
and you're in behavior change, and it comes out that actually, you know, there's problems with the... And, you know, marital problems. Mm-hmm. Do you deal with that, or is that something that they have to deal with it outside?
No, I definitely deal with it. Mm-hmm. When we see that a lot, I definitely deal with it, because even though there's marital problems and it be between just the parents, it affects very, very much the adolescent or the other mm-hmm. sibling that's involved. So it's about making it, again, relational. Parents have marital problems. How do you react towards it? Maybe that's why the child is acting out. Maybe they're trying to change the attention to me or her, that way you guys don't fight.
Are you bringing this up in the living room with the whole family there?
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying, you know, Mom and Dad, it seems like a lot of your interactional tension is getting played out in how this kid's getting managed? Wow.
Or even better is asking them, do you think? Making such
proclamations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think it affects them? Or ask the siblings, the adolescent, how does it affect, you know, every time I see that your parents start arguing, it feels very tense in the room. I feel the tension. How does it happen? You know, how do you guys get influenced by this? How do you guys react? And then they start talking about how much the parents, they fight all the time, how much it affects them.
Do you talk to the parents afterwards, say, you know what, you need to deal with these, or you need to go to family, to your, for your own marital?
Or is it obvious?
Everything I try to do in family.
Okay.
Everything is just
so
family.
You don't, so you're not a secret ally.
No.
But
okay. No. And that's explained in the first phase.
Okay.
Because they can, I'll always encourage them to call me in between sessions mm-hmm. if they have to. Or if I call and check in on them, I make sure that they understand I'm not going to keep secrets. Whatever they do communicate to me, I'm going to bring back to session.
Culturally, mm-hmm. how does that work in families that have a much more controlling chain of command? You know, families that don't sit down as families and uh-huh. make decisions and process things
like
as families.
Right. Like in my family.
The president and the vice president.
Like in my family, it was my uh-huh. dad. My dad made the decisions, you know, just uh-huh. that's it. You don't question it.
You know, and maybe mm-hmm. the vice president talks to the president at night when nobody else is listening, but you're not seeing that. As a family member, you're not really seeing that.
Yes. So what I would do, like in Maria's case, I would mm-hmm. focus and engage on your father.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very much. I would gain his trust as much as I can so he can pull everybody else in.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that's telling me that he's on top of the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. So then your dad is the one that needs my full attention to make sure he can motivate and get the rest of the family in on board.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to motivate for people
or
to change, I'm going to work with him
that
first.
Because that may be threatening.
Yeah. And it's yeah. So that's in that
you're
way.
You're asking my
yeah.
son how he feels about me fighting with my wife?
Right.
Whoa.
So it's about gaining his respect.
Yeah.
It's always
going over
boundaries him.
There.
Yeah. So I would always try to talk through him first. Always. Always gain that respect from him.
So what do you think your son, how do you think your son feels when, I mean, I'm feeling some tension here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How do you think your son feels, so now he's in charge of
mm-hmm.
giving that message? You know, he's basically channeling everything through him.
Right. Or what I would do better if the father has that hierarchy, I would do statements. You know, it just seems to me that every time you say, you know, you put down mom, I see that your son puts his head down or looks away. You know, I wonder
so
what
an
that,
observation.
Yeah. Observation, definitely. Point process is what we call.
Isn't that mm-hmm. amazing, just the whole dynamics of the family?
Yeah.
You know, we're so used to seeing just the therapy, individual therapy,
yeah,
working with individually.
If I'm the controlling person, I'm going to ground you.
Right.
But just, you know, what I'm going back is that usually we're so used to doing the individual therapy
yeah.
sure.
and working with it individually. But
yes.
there's so many other things going standing behind the
yes.
or and around that individual, the
mm-hmm.
whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those issues are being touched because
exactly.
you're only working with that individual. But when you work with the family, everybody is
right.
there.
Right, because we can work and provide tools to the individual, you know, for years at a time, but they always go home to that environment.
Mm-hmm.
So if the environment is not, he's not adapting to that environment for whatever reasons, he's not going to use the tools, they're not going to be successful. So it's better to get everybody together on board and everybody be
able
to.
Isn't that why they made UC schools?
What do you mean?
That's so you can like go away to school and step out of the family structure.
Yeah,
and
true.
Colleges.
Could be.
Colleges.
Could be.
I have a question, I guess. Mm-hmm. So individual therapy, the context is typically on the individual and what they have power over their context, over their environment.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And family
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. Like, for example, trauma-focused CBT. You know, they're dealing with that individual's trauma.
Yes.
Right.
So, and then this family therapy is talking about the context of the family
mm-hmm.
and what power the family has over managing that environment as a unit.
Exactly.
That family is in a larger, is in a community context, is in a society context.
Mm-hmm.
Many times, the same way the individual is affected by the family is affected by the community or the society.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Certainly there's a parallel process there.
Definitely.
How do you keep that out of the room, or do you have to keep it out of the room, or do you get to talk about it? Or
I always talk about it, because if there's some type of influence, let's say we've been providing all these techniques and they're doing their homework, but somehow they still get affected by outside sources or extended family members. So we always try to talk about if we couldn't get this person in therapy, we talk about their reality. Let's say this mother-in-law that was never involved, she's very influential,
yes,
and it's a
exactly.
bad influence.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that we're not going to be able to change her. Mm-hmm. We can only change ourselves. So how can we better deal with her?
So it's the same thing you would tell to an individual
right.
who brought that up in session. It's this and that and the other
right.
thing. Well, where do you have power over it?
Right. So process the meaning behind it. I still find the noble intention behind that other person and try to get a different understanding about there. It's not a personal attack. This is what probably means, and how can you deal with it? Because that's your reality.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably not going to be able to change that.
Yeah, are we all constantly functioning under noble intentions?
I think we should.
Well, no, but
it's everything.
Having to look through behaviors for noble intentions, do you find it common that there is one?
Well, for me, now that I'm a mom.
You're growing.
Yeah. I'm still learning, of course. But it's a noble intention. You know, sometimes when I tell her, no, she can't watch TV, or just trying to discipline her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a noble intent in trying to discipline her. You know, if she doesn't want to do her homework, you know, it's just, even though she might think that, you know, she cries and she says, you know, you hurt my feelings, you know. I'm
good
sorry.
Girl.
Someday when you're a mommy, you
good
will
job.
Be able to inflict
she's
this
learned
pain
that from
on
me.
Your children.
Yeah,
right.
She's learned that from me. And I go, and I tell her, I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you need to do your homework. You know, you need to do good in school. You have to learn how to read and you know, just...
Mm-hmm.
And but she's
or else
no, but you know that's the there's always even in just trying to discipline you know there's
yes.
even though they your child or that adolescent might see something
uh-huh.
you know what you're trying to you're being mean you know they're just they don't love
right.
me they don't there's always sometimes a noble intent
uh-huh.
maybe misguided
yes and that's what we use a lot misguided
uh-huh. but it's
ouch there's a little judgment in that. Just a little.
Well, it's important to point out the seriousness.
Do they get to decide it's misguided based on the outcome? I mean, is that the way
it's
you play
still
it?
So the whole thing is like for that parent that was screaming and yelling,
mm-hmm.
it's the fear of something.
Right.
It's just
so how did that noble intent work for you?
So
it didn't work very well, right?
Right. And the misguided part is where, you know, it was misguided because it was hurtful to the adolescent, so we have to point out the seriousness of it and validate his feelings.
Well, it didn't work. Ultimately,
right.
it didn't have either the desired effect,
right.
or
exactly.
the noble intention wasn't clearly
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
framed
uh-huh.
in a way that was understood by the other person.
Right. And the evidence is, how long have you guys done it for, and has it worked?
But misguided works really good with the steering the car in the ditch analogy, right?
There you go.
Because, yeah, misguided, yeah, you're in the ditch, okay?
Yeah, right.
You go, oops,
you're in the canal.
You're off the road now.
Yeah, I'm going to use that
one. I shouldn't have done that, huh? I go, I shouldn't have done that. So
car in reverse. Am I stuck?
Your past, we've done the engagement motivation phase. We're doing the behavior change. Now the last phase.
The last phase is generalization, which is basically that we generalize everything we have learned, everything we've talked about, all the family themes, which was the family themes we haven't talked about, but it's basically what they can share as family members. For example, if they've all experienced certain traumas, if they've all experienced the feelings of fear, they've experienced feelings of abandonment, then those are the family themes. So it's about reminding them what they've all experienced, how they all
suffered. What about family joy, celebration, beauty?
That's what a lot of it is going to be all about now.
Okay,
now
well, you're scaring me. All the family common experiences are
because that's in the first phase.
Heavy duty.
That's in the first phase, trying to find out, okay, this
what's
is what
on?
You guys experienced.
So families typically haven't focused on or recognized
right.
those positive things.
Exactly. So now it's about, now you have some positives, now you can recognize them, you made some changes, so now what can we do to make sure you maintain this change, you maintain this motivation to continue improving?
Does it, after, let's say the family just finishes the family therapy,
mm-hmm.
is it now the family all, you know, A-OK, 100%?
Oh, no, unfortunately, and that's what the last phase is going to be about. There's, you know, sometimes we do have families that are very well
mm-hmm.
managed now and really do appear to be okay.
This family's so cool that you would join them.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. But now it's about, you know, what other resources can we provide? If they have still more needs, they have individual mm-hmm. issues now they have to talk about.
Does that mean that, let's say that something happens. Something
mm-hmm.
happens. They know how to deal with it.
Yes.
You know, the problems don't go away. There's
exactly.
problems will always
They're
be
always
there.
Going to come in.
But they know how to
manage
it.
Yes. And that's the difference. And it's important to identify that. Because sometimes things are going so well that they think that's just the way it's going to be forever. And unfortunately, we're always going to have some type of problems.
There's always bumps on the road.
Some disagreements, yeah. So
going back to driving.
Those are all opportunities. Come on. You guys are really problem-focused.
Yeah.
You know, it's just life happening.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you think about it as a problem, then it's something to be avoided. And you can't really avoid it anyways.
Right.
You can't avoid problems.
Right.
You can't avoid problems.
And then mm-hmm. and it's an opportunity to use the skills that
yeah.
Dahlia taught us.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's an opportunity to model kindness and gentleness and love. You know, it, and that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. You know, it's something you have to beat it up or send it to the corner or, you know, discipline it. You know, no. You just kind of play with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's be nice to each
well,
other.
Well, problems, issues, life experiences, opportunities.
It's a chance to be cool. It's a chance
to
demonstrate your coolness.
It's a chance for the family to learn the skills that they've learned.
Right.
Absolutely.
Through family therapy.
Right. So now we do the relapse prevention. You know, what else is needed, if anything's needed, you know, not all the time. Sometimes.
So you could sit in the room and say, you know, I'm just kind of sitting here and this is just an observation, but I don't think you guys are ever going to probably go back down that path again.
It happens, yeah.
And just saying it that way would give them enough relapse prevention. I mean, you know, it would just
yeah.
kind of point out the obviousness
yeah.
of them that, yeah, well, yelling at people doesn't work or whatever.
Right. Or
yeah.
what I try to do is, you know, for them to try to see any future issues, any future conflicts, and then we try to figure out, okay, how would you deal with it? So I try to do examples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what triggers do you think you could have in the future?
What's the next thing your kid's going to do that's going to make you want to yell at them?
Uh-huh. So, and how would you manage?
Well, maybe like
so
that,
we do examples.
That example that it was earlier in the show about the kid coming home late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe in the next time, can you give your mom a call? Tell mom,
right.
I am running late, so mom won't be thinking all these things. Where's my child? You know, is
mm-hmm.
he is somewhere in a car
well,
with
yeah,
a ditch
yeah,
or something?
Obviously, there's two ways to break this down. And the kid being aware of the noble intentions
mm-hmm.
of the parent
mm-hmm.
may, in fact, then act within a more responsible framework.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Right. Oh, my mom's yelling at me because she cares.
She's
All
married.
I have to do to honor that is to call.
Yeah,
call
make sure that I'm okay, that I'm fine, you know, that
mm-hmm.
I'm...
Right.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, just a lot of parents know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I probably... That's what my parents did.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But no, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process. And how many sessions is it? I mean, you do one session for engagement, one session for rehabilitation.
No, and it
it's
goes back
15
to...
15 minutes. It's all actually, you do all four sessions in one.
That'll be nice, but no. It really depends on the family. It depends on the compliance as well, you know, how many times we do see them during the week or during the month, for how long. It's really going to adjust to them, but it's average 12 to 15 sessions, depending. Really good families can end it possibly in 10 sessions.
Wow.
Yeah, depending on them, you know, how willing they are. to adapt
and then,
themselves.
You know, you said the flexibility. You know, mm-hmm. you do it at the clinic, you do it at their homes.
Right.
How about the flexibility of time?
We try to do the same thing. We are challenged sometimes where we're doing part-time family therapy and part-time with other models. So we do have to try to adapt to all the clients, of course. But families is a little more challenging because we're talking about different members that are coming in.
Especially
so
the working
schedules.
The working families.
Schools, right. So we have
and so
to
when can the entire family, all the players, be in the room at the same time? Because then you wouldn't do session two with half the people
exactly.
there.
Exactly. No. It wouldn't be beneficial. And then to make sure we have at least an hour to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever have families get to the point where they say, you know, respectfully, we see the misguidedness
uh-huh.
of our stuff, but this is really where we're comfortable being. This is, you know, these were kind of deliberate choices that we made along the way, and
mm-hmm.
this is who we want to be, and this is our functional family version.
Yes.
Even though it's 17 sessions later, and we're still yelling at each other. Do you get people that get to that point? I mean, would that be okay in your model?
Actually, it's not, we wouldn't say it's okay, but if you were to ask me, I would say that was my fault. I would say that I possibly didn't read the family well. Enough to motivate them, enough to read their hierarchy, the way that they related to each other. So whatever techniques
So there's kind of an implied judgment here that people will naturally move towards the light.
Yes.
Or
their own benefit, of course, because they want to feel better.
Because what they were doing in the past
wasn't working.
So yelling may not feel what it was. So I guess the trick is if one person's, you know, stuff is another person's poison, then somebody who feels good yelling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or maybe that's how they express their love. But if they all understand, if I yell at you, that means I love you.
It's still
going to
back
Mom.
Down the problem.
Right.
Yeah, it's
right.
still going to back down the problem.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's really, again, depends on the family. To me, yelling was normal as well growing up, but now it's not.
So even if they walk away with the exact same behavioral pattern,
mm-hmm.
they'll understand the dynamics better and be able to kind of perhaps not respond in ways that escalate.
Right.
Exactly. So there's a lot of escalation. So your problems, what you're looking for, where they drive it in the ditch, is typically related to escalation, huh?
Exactly.
Where
exactly.
one person responds misguidedly to another person's misguided
and then, exactly.
response.
Then, like I said, then it gets escalated, and then, you know, Mom is calling 911, and
mm-hmm.
or minor runs out of the house and mm-hmm. commits a crime. And
so one misguided person's annoying, and two make it an argument.
There you go. There you go. That's the way to see it.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to.
I see it.
Put this in my head here.
Yeah. But you know, just that. I mean, this can work for either, you know, many families. A lot of families just trying to communicate better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many families actually feng shui their functioning every day? And you know, hey, let's sit down and process how we interact. I mean, Dahlia's a therapist. Your family doesn't do that.
No.
Hi, honey. How are you today? Well, let's talk about our noble ideals and get everything in line so that we're you know, it's too much real life happening.
Exactly.
But no, but like, example, my daughter knows to express her feelings, and she expresses it very well.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't have weekly meetings, but she knows about feelings.
So here's the test question at the end of the exam.
Uh huh.
Do you know your phone number if people are interested, if they've got out-of-control teenagers and they may be interested in this type of intervention in terms of their lives?
Yes, definitely. The office number, front office, will be 760-336-8532.
And if you need information on functional family therapy, you can probably Google it.
Yes, it is. Yes, you'll find it. There is a website.
And if they say they heard about it on Let's Talk About It, free T-shirts?
Ooh.
Something?
Yes, but
you're promising, right?
Provided by Scott Dudley.
Yeah.
You can say that. Provided by Scott Dudley.
There you go.
So Scott will have some T-shirts here.
Mario's got some hookups, I'm sure.
And if you missed that number, you can always access the podcast at kxoradio.com.
Dahlia Pesqueira, thanks for
coming
aboard. Pesqueira.
Thank you.
I close there.
I was so proud in my head. I'm
going to
nail it at the end, and I nailed it, all right.
Thank you.
Nice try.
Thanks for coming aboard
today.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, thanks for listening. And Maria's going to tell you all to go to the fair this
weekend. Yes, go to the fair. It starts on Friday. Take your kids and have fun. And eat lots of corn dogs.
Mario, are you playing at the fair this year? Ooh, it's not going to be the same without
you. It's not
going to
be the same. Oh, gosh.
But catch Mario on his website. Google him or something. You can find it. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next week.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.